I'm going to go on record right now that if I'm on some kind of machine and that's how I'm going to live the rest of my life, pull the plug.
Exactly.
Okay? Pull the plug.
All right. You heard it here first, listen.
Write it down, though, because nobody's going to believe me when I say it. She said it.
It's recorded. It's recorded.
Spotify. Yeah. All the deep fakes and things now.
Yeah. Go to Spotify.
Wait,
listen. Episode number.
Welcome to Boomer Meets World, family from three generations talk honestly about life and differences while showing vulnerability and passion. I'm Therese, and I'm the boomer. Amanda is an elder millennial, and Dominic is Gen Z, or the Zoomer. We're not experts. We're just having conversations from our own individual viewpoints. We hope you'll enjoy the show.
Well, we talked about abortion last time on the podcast. And euthanasia kind of came up in the midst of that conversation. So we thought we'd carry on with killing people today.
Oh, my God.
On Boomer Meets World. Well, we kind of got a glimpse into what's happening. But if you missed the last episode, we talked again about abortion and euthanasia came up. And it appears from that quick conversation that we had in that episode that Amanda would be for some forms of euthanasia and Dominic would be against it, I would think. Now, I guess, am I using the term correctly when we talk about euthanasia as like a assisted suicide, that kind of a thing? Or is it?
Yeah. Or, I mean, right. Just,
not genocide,
choice,
but euthanasia.
Oh, yeah. No. Not. I don't think we have any proponents of genocide here.
No.
Right. Yeah. Just the choice to humanely end one's own life, which ideally you can do unassisted, but sure, if you need help, okay. That should be fine too.
What about your parents, though? Say your mom has dementia, she's not well, her quality of life is bad, sort of like you would do with a dog. You know, if the dog's quality of life is bad,
it's kind of like a DNR, right? Like a do not resuscitate. You have to, there has to be a proact, like you you need to decide that,
like a prenup. Like a prenup.
Yes, right. A decision made before you get to a point where you're actually too mentally incapacitated or cognitively declined to not be able to make that.
So you couldn't, if you had your mom's power of attorney, is what I'm saying, would okay?
That would be illegal.
I would think so too.
That's the murder.
Okay.
Give me your money.
But some people, they're okay with that. If there's no quality of life there, they're in a coma forever, that they would just make the decision.
Oh, right. Now you're talking about pulling the plug. There's definitely, right. There's different kind of
approaches,
segments to this, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. But pulling the plug is not really like assisted suicide.
No, but it is I guess it's in the euthanasia-ish world.
Kind of. It's related for sure.
I'm going to go on record right now that if I'm on some kind of machine and that's how I'm going to live the rest of my life, pull the plug.
Exactly.
Okay? Pull the plug.
All right. You heard it here first, listeners.
Write it down, though, because nobody's going to believe me when I say it. She said it.
It's recorded.
Spotify.
Yeah. With all the deep fakes and things now. I don't know.
Go to Spotify.
Wait,
listen.
Listen.
Episode number. Well, I do have, I think, a living will. That's what you need, right? Is a living will to kind of state all these things.
It's definitely more used to you to have it now than if you don't have it when you die.
So you think it's okay for somebody who, say, has cancer to just decide to end it before they get to the point of where the cancer kills them?
Yes. Definitely.
Why is that okay to decide? Why do you think
I'll go
that?
First? So I believe that it's not just about, you know, you have cancer and it's going to be painful. In many cases, it's going to be expensive. So I feel that And I think it, we have to define it, right? Like just like we do with abortion, you're not going to be aborting a fetus, you know, right up to the time that you're about to give birth. Just like you shouldn't, you know, you get a cancer diagnosis on day one. I don't think people should take their own life on day two, but every person should have the right to make a decision if they have a terminal illness. Once they get to a certain stage in that illness, and probably it has to be defined kind of carefully for each illness, because some chronic illnesses that are terminal, you can live with for many years, and some it's only a few months. So the line is going to move based on the disease, but you get
a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
There's a lot of diseases out there.
You know, if we can do everything else to tabulate these diseases, why not tabulate the humane and appropriate time at which somebody with one of those illnesses could conceivably elect to end their life? Like most of the topics we talk about, it's not something I've researched recently and don't have a whole lot of facts in my brain about it. But I know in a lot of European countries, I think the Netherlands in particular, Belgium, there's pretty well thought out. They're a little more advanced than we are with respect to euthanasia. So they've probably started to do a lot of that kind of what I guess I'd classify as regulatory work to establish guidelines. But I think there should be. And I am a control freak. So I absolutely want to be in the driver's seat and don't want to be wasting away until I'm an emaciated, complete, you know, constantly in pain skeleton before, you know, I die. I will be stopping that. Or dementia diagnosis, you bet your ass I'm pulling the plug on that situation before it gets way out of control. No way am I walking around like essentially a zombie. So that's my thinking.
Okay. So Dominic, are you a control freak?
I'm better than I used to be. I'll say that.
Okay. Because I just wondered again, it's one of those genetic things we just found out, because I am a control freak as well. So here we are, family members all in the same boat again as control freak. But we probably think about these things. I'm a recovering control freak is what I usually say. I try to let things go. But so Dom, how do you feel about euthanasia or what we're talking about here? Maybe assisted suicide or ending your life based on a diagnosis or.
Okay. Well, full disclosure, I was talking shit to Amanda on the last episode, I think, or I don't remember if that was in the outtake or not, but I totally thought euthanasia, this was in the outtake. I totally thought euthanasia was the illegal practice of assisted suicide, and it's not. She was correct. It is legal practice. So I thought if you were talking euthanasia, it was just like straight up bad, like the bad stuff off the books.
Mm-hmm.
Also did not realize Kevorkian was from Michigan. So, woo, go Michigan.
I knew that. Oh,
that
yeah.
That blew my mind like 5 minutes ago.
Just a regular dude from Michigan.
Yeah, that's right.
That's wild. It's complicated. Like, it is weird that we have this circumstantial decision making, like a dog, like you were saying earlier, right? Like, we mercy kill dogs because, you know, like, oh, they got bone cancer. Like, they're in so much pain. Like, put them down. But then you look at like a human, there's so much more emotion and legality into it. So I guess what I'm not opposed to it as I used to be, because I could see like that's a better way to go than either A, grinding it out, or B, doing it yourself in a rough way. Like killing yourself could be fucked up, you know, especially like if you don't know how to do it. And like you could fuck it up and just make it even worse. I'm curious to see, besides morality, like besides religion and God involved, why humans think it's wrong, like innately wrong to kill ourselves or have someone else help us kill ourselves. And like the law, because like technically it's illegal to kill yourself. So I wonder if the law, if there's any other justification for it, or if it's simply just rooted in morality and God, like religion, because I don't know, we kill other things without thought. We put other animals down out of sympathy, but when it comes to humans, it gets really weird. And I definitely see like there could be some gray areas, especially involving like money and property and all that stuff. So I think it's something like you have to be really careful about, because, you know, once, if you don't go one way or the, like if you don't go fully conservative and say like absolutely nothing at all, then there's going to be room for abuse.
I can't make a decision without morality or God in it, to be honest with you. One of the things that I can come up with in the short term notice here, but is that humans are the highest form of being on the planet based on our
opinion.
Well, we run the planet, so there, humans are, you know, the highest form of whatever functional being on the planet. But once you start to, my concern is that you start to devalue life. And so you're making those decisions about life and death, whether it's for a baby or for yourself, or maybe it even is for somebody else at times, that I feel like, and I, you know, the only thing I can say is we're playing God, but, you know, you're making decisions that are very selfish. Again, I go back to like sort of in the last episode, a selfish thing, because even though you might think I'm doing such a great thing by killing myself so my spouse or kids or whatever don't have to deal with this, you're also depriving them of time with you. But suffering does bring growth in people. So if they have to watch someone go through whatever, it can be a moment or a time of growth for them and learning and empathy and compassion, things that maybe they would not develop or not develop to a certain degree if they didn't go through those experiences. Who's going to be the we that decides this is okay and this isn't okay? At what point do you pull the trigger or shoot the needle in or whatever it is that you're going to use for taking the life? I think that that's, again, who makes that decision? Who's the almighty, all-knowing that's going to make the decision on that?
That is interesting, because I have thought about that too, right? Like part of my brain is in one spot saying like, this is the way it's always been. It's part of the human experience to know pain and suffering. Everyone's done it before you, so you should go through that as well. But then also part of me is like, well, just because something has always been done this way doesn't mean it's the right way. What I can say though, is like, for example, watching my great uncle go through pancreatic cancer. Like he was like old country boy, very strong man, like kind of like all the masculine ideals, whatever. And watching him wither away from pancreatic cancer was like, it was tough. But it was really insightful, and it was a somber but silver lining experience. Like I still get to remember him. I still get to remember him as I did as a kid, but I also got to see like the fragility of life as well. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, watching an uncle go through cancer, but then fighting it and winning. And then also like, you know, like those two extremes, like someone succumbing to it, but someone beating it. And it's just very different emotions. And, you know, what do you do? I don't know. What do you do without those experiences? Like, would I be the same person without those experiences or emotions? I don't know. It's hard to tell. Probably not. But is it better or for worse? I don't know.
And watching your great uncle, I don't know this for sure because I didn't know him, but watching him, how he handles that process too, can be growth for you. You can see this is how you handle adversity. Or this is not how you handle adversity or whatever, pain or suffering. And I think once, if we take pain and suffering and that kind of stuff out of the picture, then we lose how to deal with certain things. That's why I think, like, if you know, we joke a bit about, you know, everybody gets a trophy. When everybody wins, nobody knows how to lose. So in the same sense, I'm not saying that I wish this on anyone, but there is a growth process that happens when you have to walk through that kind of situation with someone or as yourself. How are you going to demonstrate handling that well?
Amanda, what do you think about that with in regards to like potentially taking away a piece of the human experience?
I don't know that I put as much emphasis. I mean, I admittedly from my own experience associate this kind of necessity of pain and suffering as central to human growth as like a very uniquely kind of Catholic and Christian thing. And so I'm pretty averse to that as a principle. I mean, the human experience is so diverse and so complicated. I don't know that giving people the individual choice to elect not to go to the bitter, bitter ends of that end of life pain and suffering is necessarily going to in some way holistically detract from the human experience. I guess I don't think that that's the case. You know, when we talk about this being a question of morality, I think importantly, and this is something that a lot of atheists assert, is that morality is not necessarily, it's actually a construct that's separate from religion for me. I know a lot of people's morality is very centered around religion, but mine isn't. But I consider myself a moral person. I consider my...
An
intrinsic desire to be a good person and have a net positive effect on the world, which I wouldn't attribute to a religious upbringing. I attribute it a lot to compassionate parenting. I think my parents did everything they do, you know, turn out great. No, but a lot of what they did was show compassion to others. And that's something I always think about. And seeking out compassionate friendships and, you know, having empathy. I mean, those are things that I hold to be compassion, empathy, giving of your time. Those are things that I think are important and kind of are the components of my moral compass. So it doesn't have necessarily a religious component. But not to go off entirely on that tangent, but I think still, you know, I think it's possible to have a sense of morality and still believe that humans should have a choice, especially at the end of their life, to decide, you know, okay, this is enough. I think we need frameworks. You know, do we want people jumping out of helicopters after the 2 days after they've been diagnosed with cancer? Absolutely not. Because my mother was a hospice nurse, right? So she would talk about people. And there are people who fought to the bitter end and had really miserable ends. And then there are people who were more quiet and kind of reserved. And I don't think one person is better than the other. I think death is really scary and such an unknown for all of us that for me to watch somebody die poorly, you know, somebody kicking and screaming and really losing it to the end, which was my grandfather, by the way, unpleasant experience. I mean, I saw some pictures. It was awful. He was tormented to the bitter, bitter end. But I don't find that to be a moral failing on his part. I think it's just that's what it was for him. And if he had elected to be able to not have that happen, maybe he would have. I don't know. But I would certainly want to be able to avoid that if I could. And I don't read it as a weakness for somebody to do that. And I don't think it's anybody's job to suffer for the betterment of others. But that's also obviously fundamentally quite at odds with a lot of the tenets of Christianity. But I don't, you know, I don't think my death needs to teach others a lesson. So I don't feel like I'm robbing other people of something just by not going through that.
It's not like it has to teach other people or that like you have to teach people. It's more about like people will inherently learn from their experience. And if they don't have that experience, then they don't have the opportunity to learn. I guess like what happens if you get to a point where humanity doesn't know death anymore except for tragic accidents? Like, would that be like it turns into like the giver and at like 60, everyone just like the old people just disappear? Like, oh, see ya. you're getting to be a liability.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, there's a lot of these dystopian, novels that I was like reading them as a kid, and I'm like, yeah, so what? Brave New World.
Yeah, the closer you get to 60,
Brave New World, babies,
you're not going to like it.
I don't have to do it. Fantastic.
Yeah, but the closer you get, there's a lot of people. Like, I know people who are into their 70s who are in great shape and having a wonderful life,
which is great. Which is
not a drain on anybody. But if you have,
yeah, I think
if you have this, okay, here's the stopping point, and you're done.
Dominic is bringing up obviously very much the extreme.
It's an extreme.
We're not anywhere near. We're not anywhere near that. And I don't think anybody.
It can get there.
I don't think that euthanasia, as it exists in a lot of countries today that are doing it well, is a slippery slope to the giver. I don't think that's the case. And I'm not a big fan of, in general, of, you know, saying when we do something and do it well and do it in the proper way, that it is a gateway to other more nefarious things. I just don't really believe that. That argument, you know, obviously has been made many times to me in other contexts. And I generally reject that. I don't think human nature is to take things into such an extent of severity.
You're very gracious. It's a human nature.
I mean, but if we're talking about respect for human life, people that are generally not okay with abortion, not okay with euthanasia, are fine with war and the way we imprison people in this country, death penalty, which I think are, you know, these are not things that should necessarily be okay. If
a big generalization,
your argument is,
yep. Because I mean, here's the thing: that person, generally speaking, if they're on death row and they're going to get the death penalty, they've made decisions to get them there. A baby or someone who has cancer did not decide, oh, I want cancer. So, you know, I mean, there's a big difference between. And I'm not saying either one's right or wrong. I'm saying that that's where the argument usually comes in with like the death penalty, is that people think there has to be a punishment that is, and this is the punishment of the land. So they're going to have that punishment based on the crimes that they committed. And if we don't have a punishment, then there's no deterrent.
I'm
not saying death penalty is correct. I'm just saying that's,
yeah. I think if you're going to be pro, okay. If you're going to be 100% pro-life, death penalty is off the table.
Nope.
It has to be, because euthanasia is someone choosing, if someone decides to get assisted suicide and that's playing God, well, then us deciding as a community to execute someone is also playing God. And even probably worse, because now we're forcing this person, even though there's technically like a vote or a trial, like now we're totally against their will saying you have to die.
Well, they've probably taken a life or multiple lives to get them there. They've made decisions that have gotten them to that spot, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And, but if you're saying that, like, I mean, pro-life truly in the full spectrum is from beginning to end, and there should be no say at all about who gets to live and who gets to die. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it would be off the table. It's not a fun one, because you're kidding me? If someone like hurt my loved ones, the things that I would want to do to them, like unspeakable. But am I playing God if we're talking in that arena? Who am I to decide that they should meet their maker if there is one? Well, I don't know.
For those who can't see Dominic's face, he just threw up his shoulders and made the most genuine little adorable, like, I don't know.
I agree with death penalty. Like, I don't think we should do it, you know, in that term. Like, I think if you're going to have euthanasia, you know, I don't know. It gets tough. The war part, your comment about war, I disagree with a little bit. There's a lot of unnecessary war, but could be argued there's been some necessary war. And that gets hard to clear up, you know, like if you consider, I mean, everyone goes to World War II, but like people were getting genocide. So, I mean, does it justify to kill other people because you were saving other people? I'm confused, man. I don't know. It's getting tough.
It's complicated. I don't think it's.
Yeah. Do you let, because it's the obvious one, like you said, Hitler continue to do what Hitler was doing, or do you declare war and try to stop him from doing it? People are going to get killed one way or the other. Lots of them.
Right. And I don't think pacifism would have stopped.
No, he would have taken that one and rode that.
Yeah.
I mean, no way.
For me, it's like, if we can live in a world where we can stomach atrocities, because they're everywhere. I mean, there's famine that happens as a result of geopolitical, conflict.
And there's a lot of people trying poor, to do things.
There's poverty. There's death by poverty. Generally, are we better off than we have been in previous centuries? Absolutely. But I think if you can palette all of that, then to me, it doesn't seem that much of a stretch to want to try and avoid some human suffering by allowing people to have a choice. And it's a choice. Some people are going to choose not to do that. Ooh. Most people are going to choose not to do it.
Is choosing to kill yourself medically, is that a privilege?
I think it is, because in a lot of countries, right, they can't afford to do it.
I think it's a right.
And there's
so we're the 1%.
Well, we're definitely not.
We're the 1%.
Yeah, you are. Oh, yeah, we are actually. Oh, guys, the whole of America is pretty much the 1%. You know, to be honest,
we're the 1%. Here
because
we go.
There's a huge portion. Well, what if you can't afford to kill yourself? What if you can't afford to do it in a way
But the argument is about it should be accessible. It should be regulated. I mean, I think those are all.
That's one thing in the United States. But what about in Sri Lanka or, some other country like Haiti?
Right. Well, I mean, I also think that everybody should be able to be gay everywhere. And that's not the case either. I mean, that's obviously, would I love for the way I think the world should be to apply to every single person in the world? Absolutely.
Is it legal to have assisted suicide in all United States? I know some states have that.
For certain states, it's not. It's okay. At a state level.
You go to Hawaii and get it done.
I think that Washington State as well.
Yeah, right.
There's like somewhere out west. Oregon or something
that
like
was
that.
First. Yeah.
That's where Kevorkian was for a while after he left Michigan.
Well, they don't know what's going on anyways. They're too high on all their drugs.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny. But they're all smoking pot, so they don't know what's happening.
They're smoking a lot more than pot.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing is going to be then who knows when to pull the trigger. That's a bad analogy to use. But you know what
that
I mean.
Bad.
Who decides and how do you, that's the thing that it comes down to is figuring all this out. It's like, when did you know when it's time that somebody can make that decision? And what if it's just, I've been depressed my whole life. I'm depressed my whole life.
Depression
I hate
is tough.
Life that's, and everything. So I want to die.
It's a great,
is that okay?
That's a great. Yeah. I mean, you could argue that kind of suffering. I mean, how is that different from the pain of cancer or some of the cute. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know. Obviously, yeah. I wouldn't want, mass suicide. T made a great point about, if we're going to argue that people in intense amounts of pain should be allowed to end their own lives, then what about people who have crippling depression? And, my bar has always been, at least in my head, the things that I would personally end my own life for, any kind of dementia diagnosis. Once my cognitive abilities got to a certain place where I knew the next step was going to be, I can't even eat my own fucking pudding. We're done. Debilitating neurodegenerative disease, something like ALS. I'm not playing that out to the bitter end. Absolutely not. And then probably cancer. So, if I had a really nasty cancer that was incredibly painful, once I got to a place where they're like, you have 2 weeks to live, I'd probably, but yeah, to your point, it's a very tricky line to determine. And for people with what we term as psychological disorders like depression, which I could go off on another tangent about how I don't think, when we class things as mental illness, your brain is a fucking organ. It's the same as having cancer. It's the same as having, it's a physical problem. Do we consider depression, even really severe forms of it, to be terminal illness. We don't generally give it that classification, but you could see how it kind of is, right?
Because it fuck your life up.
It fucks your life up.
Yeah, bipolar. People do kill themselves. Personality disorder. Yeah. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
But the problem is, I think, like, how do you measure it? Because everyone's tolerance is different. Everyone's pain is different. Everyone experiences differently. Like, I mean, I'm not a clinician or a doctor, so it's hard for me to even think about it. There's got to be ways that they measure it to, oh, this is severe, this is mild, but I don't know. It definitely seems somewhat like a guessing game to me to be like, well, how bad do you feel today? If there's always the person that's like, I always feel like I'm at a 10, you know, it's like, well, maybe that is their experience, but maybe it's only like a 4 for someone else. And so we're just going to, like, you know, all right, go ahead, step into the pod.
Step into the pod. You thought this all out.
But Amanda has a good point, because that depression, I mean, that'll fuck you and everyone around you up. Or can. Sure. It can fuck you and everyone up.
Right. And medication works to some degree, but doesn't always work. And figuring out the depression medication is interesting. So
yeah.
there's a lot of, that's the thing, is there's a lot of different decisions you would have to make along the way to figure out if this actually qualifies. I mean, we've come a long way with mental illness in probably the last 10 years, at least with acknowledging it and talking about it and having people share their experience and stuff. And we're nowhere near where we need to be, but at least it's nice to see people starting that conversation and getting those things rolling. But then if you say, I mean, I would imagine a lot of current suicide comes from mental illness. That's where, or, you know, if depression and those things you classify as that, then, you know, they think there's no hope. There's no reason to live. I'm just going to take my life, because why should I be here? It's too painful, or it's too hard, or it's too dark, or whatever it is. I would guess that's what most people do now.
I can see how you could tie these two topics together. I don't see them as exactly the same thing, because the etiology is a little, you know, the origin is a little unique, substantially unique, I would say. So, but I can see the concern. For, you know, if you're going to say that people have the right to end their own lives under a set of kind of what we would classify as more a subset of non-mental health issues, and that that's okay, and then to continue to tell people with really severe mental health issues, no, you got to keep going. Yeah, that's a little bit of a double standard, and that's problematic.
Do we know if countries where assisted suicide, euthanasia is legal, if they take into account mental illness in that process, or is it strictly physical? Does anybody know?
I'm pretty confident that you cannot come in and say, I'm majorly depressed. You have to have a terminal, like a classic terminal illness. And the doctor has to agree. And like, there's like several checkpoints along the way to.
Yeah, because that's something that you can measure and you can determine with the mental health, it's a lot harder to figure that all out. Yeah. To measure.
Right.
That.
You can't have 18-year-olds coming to you constantly and saying, you know, that's obviously not the direction this should take.
I don't think it even would. I definitely had a little bit of a doomsday perspective in the past. I don't think it'd get to that point. I think there is, like you said, Amanda, like a lot of people are afraid of death anyways. So there's probably a lot of people out there, even if it was an option, would be like, nah.
Nah.
Nah. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
And I always say, honestly, I'm a massive pussy. Like, I'm always like, I'm not doing that. I probably fucking will. I'm probably going to grind this shit out. I tend to do that. Like, I just...
I'm going to fight for that right, but not me.
I'm probably not. I'm probably going to like just be too much of a big baby and just be like, all right, well, I'll just see how it goes. Maybe I'll still live.
Well, you know, it's funny because my mom, she told me one time, actually she's told us multiple times, the kids that is, that if there's ever a sign of her like going down the dementia or Alzheimer's road, like, and we're assuming that it's getting worse, she said blow dart me, put me in my nice bathrobe and some nice fuzzy slippers and drive me out in the dead of winter and let me out of the car.
It's actually not a terrible way to go.
But I was like, you could just go to Hawaii and jump in a pod. But I mean,
I don't think they have the pods yet. And do they have pods in Hawaii?
I think they do. I think you can get in a little pod. And I could
it's
be
a
just
different thing, though, that first off, then you're murdering your mom. That's the hard part, because then now she's putting the work and
mattress
the decision
side
on you, but instead of on herself.
But
officers,
you know,
look at this note.
I know exactly. That's going to go real well.
You said you already gave us the authorization to pull your plug.
Oh yeah, you can pull my plug. I'm talking about his mother. If his mother blow darting that whole deal is what I'm talking about. It's like
too many
now,
steps. I guess
you've pretty much asked your kid to kill you,
right? Well, to help.
And that's
but with
that
permission.
Could you do it? Do you honestly think you could kill your parent with permission? Even
okay, it would fuck me up. But if that's really what she wanted, you gotta swallow that pill.
I'd say no, mom. Here we go. We're gonna take you into the hospital. We'll take you to Hawaii, and they can do it.
I don't know if it's any easier to watch somebody. I mean, so Louis Theroux. Do you guys know Louis Theroux?
No.
So Louis Theroux is a British documentarian, and I think it was in the U.S. where he basically visited families who had loved ones who were had made the decision that they were going to order the euthanasia kit and had the approval of their doctors and lived in states where it's okay to do legally, and watched them, stayed with them until it happened. So basically kind of followed them for the weeks leading up to it. And then all these people just said, yeah, I decided today's the day. And it was very peaceful. The families, I mean, it wasn't that different from what you see when families are standing vigil at somebody's deathbed, because it's still happening, right? I mean, it's just that it's been hastened, but it's kind of the same experience. They go through that whole, the way they breathe and the way their bodies look. And so it was just fascinating. I mostly watched it in pieces on TikTok, if I'm being honest.
I mean, yeah, that makes me think, you know, because I just made the argument earlier that taking away part of the human experience and maybe watching someone go out kicking and screaming also fucks you up isn't worth it. You know, I don't.
You're still young, Dom.
The documentary. It's good.
What do you say?
Yeah, I don't want to watch people die. No, thanks.
What do you say it was called?
Oh, you won't see the people.
Oh.
It just, you see everything else. Oh, I don't know. Louis Theroux.
You don't know what it's called? Does it have any relation to the American author Theroux?
Probably not.
I don't know what's going on with these euthanasia, but they're coming for the old people. Look out.
How many euthanasia?
Oh my goodness.
He's so proud of himself.
He is.
For saying
He's
that.
Been waiting. Been waiting to make
that. I've said that so many times.
Couldn't wait.
That's how we're going to end it, with Dom's joke.
Boom, 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 boom. If you feel so inclined to give us a shout, comment, question, or suggestion, please text us at 724-426-6637. That's 724-426-6637.
We'd love to hear your feedback, maybe show ideas, topics, because sometimes, let's be honest, we decide as we turn the microphones on what we're going to talk about.
If there's any corrections out there, you correct us. Hold us accountable.
No.
Oh, yes.
No, we don't need corrections. We're talking. We're shooting from the hip here. This is not a place to come and get your facts. This is.
We should do a correction segment, like the first 3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I
would
fucked
take
up,
us
right?
20 years. Yeah, no, absolutely not.
We could just do it from episode to episode, because just about every episode we screw up.
Yeah, we're all.
All right, fuck that one up.
I don't think we're fucking it up. We're just trying to talk off the cuff. That's the whole point. with whatever happens to be in our brains at that moment.
Which generally, let's be honest, is not much.
Sometimes it's less than you would hope. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Boomer Meets World. If you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and like us and give us a good review. To reach out with a question or topic idea, email us at podcast@boomermeetsworld.com.